So fewer homes does not bring fewer cars, while the road width, layout and gradient remain unchanged. PAH's highways report claims the Woodyard generated 9 to 16 traffic movements per day, including HGV lorries. Bluntly, this is neither true nor correct. They provide no evidence base and admitted at the public meeting no traffic survey had been undertaken. Factual evidence of the Woodyard traffic is given in Kevin Fairclough's statement on the planning portal. A joiner there for 20 years, his invoices show only 4 deliveries were made in their last 7 months, none from HGVs, which refused to deliver to the yard because of access difficulties.
Please.
Residents have exposed the PAH report's lack of credibility and object to Highways' unchallenged acceptance of its content. And it's of great concern that you are being asked to make this decision based on reports which are untrue and unreliable. The application to build 12 rented and affordable homes at Mill Lane will be before you in November. It's fully supported by residents and the parish council, and there's not a single objection on the planning portal.
Thank you. Hang on 3 minutes. Okay, next speaker is the agent, Mr. John Howlett, please. Okay, again, you've got your 3 minutes and I'll give you the 30-second audible warning.
Thank you, Chair. As members will be aware, this application is a resubmission of an earlier application for the residential development, and that application sought permission for 19 houses. There's a clear recognition from ourselves that the previous application proposed a form of development which was far too suburban for the village and proposed too many dwellings. We listened to the advice of your officers together with Historic England and withdrew that application. We've now fundamentally reviewed the approach taken for the site. We've met with officers and Historic England on several occasions, taking on board their constructive comments. The approach we've taken is to treat the site as if it was in a conservation area, even though it's not. And unlike a volume house builder, Daniel Gath Homes has the ability to design houses which respond positively to brownfield sites in a sensitive and bespoke manner. You'll note the site now has 2 distinct character areas. The southern part of the site follows the linear form of development, which is a key characteristic of the conservation area, and to the north, the layout responds to the edge of settlement location by representing a farmstead. We've allowed room to the east of the site for landscaping to soften the visual impact of the development on the open countryside, and we've proposed landscaping around the existing Yorkshire Water pumping station to allow for improvement of the quality of the street scene. In terms of addressing the highway implications of the development, we've reduced the numbers of houses proposed and have met with the highways officers to look at off-site improvements which could be made to address the historic access issues that the site has. Within the site, we are providing a turning area, and we're mindful that the site has an existing lawful use that could generate significant vehicle movements, including heavy goods vehicles. We asked our highways engineers to look at this, and in conjunction with North Yorkshire's highways engineers, concluded that 12 dwellings is an appropriate level and development of the site, which would then not lead to conditions prejudicial to highway safety. Bearing in mind the strong feelings of the Parish Council, which we heard at our meeting with them, our highways engineers submitted for early consideration by North Yorkshire County Council a construction management plan. The applicant remains keen to minimise the impact of construction phase of the development as much as possible. Whilst we appreciate and accept there's always a degree of disruption when any development is undertaken, we will do our best to minimise its impact.
30 seconds, please.
Thank you. We believe the scheme is carefully considered, responds positively to the constraints the site presents, delivers an appropriate mix of house types and of house sizes, and four much needed affordable homes to the village. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chairman, just a few things to come back in terms of comments from the speakers that I think sort of warrant comment, really. I mean, the first one from the Parish Council was relating to the highway comments, Chairman. and it's unfortunate that the full highway comments were not reported on the web pages. We're still looking into the reason for that, Chairman, but the pages that were not are the list of suggested conditions that you have in your papers tonight. The Highway Authority's comments, or Mr. Boyne's comments on behalf of the Highway Authority, were published as soon as they were received, and it's clear to me that that was the case because we had unanimous objections to the fact that he was not objecting to the application. And indeed, Chairman, I recall raising it at the site visit in July that was the case. I don't think any amount of conditions suggested by the Highway Authority would address the concerns of locals who've got strongly held views that the access to this site they do not consider to be acceptable, Chairman. That's my view of things. In terms of some other comments, Chairman, I think if we just set aside for a moment the access and how you get to the site, if members can look at page 33 and just set aside the highway for a moment, East End, Church End. This application, and I wish I'd put the previous withdrawn scheme before you, Chairman, which was for a scheme of 19 suburban dwellings in an adjacent to a historic situation, Chairman, was rightly criticised. It was rightly criticised by conservation officers. It was rightly criticised by Historic England, as they now are, and the application was withdrawn. What you see before you, Chairman, is something that's been designed to be bespoke for the site. And in itself, the design, the layout, the approach, I couldn't do more to commend it, really, Chairman, in terms of its design approach. So I think it's very unfair to suggest that the mix and the design of the scheme in itself is not fit for its location. I think, Chairman, this really solely relates to the how you get to the site and how you get back out again for residents and also for construction traffic. It's a fact, Chairman, whether people don't like the PAH report or they don't like Steve Boyne's response to it, that the only professional highway input we have at the moment suggests that this scheme should be approved because it's not refusable on highway grounds. There is no other professional view on the table. And so, Chairman, that's where we are. We find ourselves in a situation where everybody's uncomfortable about the access and the road network, but actually the people we rely on are not objecting to the scheme. And I think that's the nub of the issue. There was one other issue I just want to pick up on very briefly, which is this alternative scheme at Mill Lane. Yes, it is in. We are dealing with it. It's an exception scheme for 12 houses, but it does not meet this settlement's affordable housing need in full. At the time that was done, Colin Hubey had already got an immediate need for people with a local connection to the village of 18 dwellings. So, Chairman, you can see that an alternative market-led scheme that in its own right is presenting another four plus a commuted sum is actually making a further contribution to affordable housing. In fact, over recent years, we've incredibly reliant on market-led schemes to provide affordable rather than exception sites. And in fact, Sheriff Hutton is one of the first exception sites for quite a while. I think the last one probably would have been Norton Beadle, Chairman. And you think, well, that must be 2 or 3 years at least, I would guess. So this scheme does bring good things with it. That's not to suggest that the local concerns and fears about traffic are not firmly held, Chairman, but we don't have an alternative view to suggest any other recommendation should be made.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Councillor Hope.
Can I go one at once? Sorry, I have to do all the lot. Thank you, Chairman. Have the fire, police or ambulance been consulted on this development?
Police, yes, and their comments are in the report. And obviously they tend to concentrate more on security issues than other matters. Fire, no, we don't, as a matter of course, consult fire. In terms of accessibility issues, we're pretty much reliant on the Highway Authority.
Thank you. Police, yes, I agree with you. All the thinking about is crime, not traffic problem. Ambulance, as one of the speakers did say, that it was stuck. It had gone to a 999 incident, who stuck there, he couldn't get through. His partner had to go knocking on doors to get cars moved to get through. Fire and Rescue, I've been in contact with them, and they're showing great concern. One was whether the hydrants were up to it for another housing down there, but that can be brought up later.
I mean, I think when we do the highway consult, just as a comment really, and more than anything else, I mean, when we do consult with highways, clearly one of the things they're looking at when they're giving a response to an estate layout are things relating to emergency vehicle access, for example. We haven't had any specific comments on this particular instance, but you know, for example, if a fire engine can't get into a site, I'm thinking more usually in a town centre where you've got an archway, then there still has to be a certain amount of distance that they can unroll a hose and get to to get to it. But we've not had any anything specifically pointed out on emergency vehicle access from County Council.
Thank you. Right, where does the farm track go to through this site? Is it, as it looks on the map, over the top of the sewer? Because if it does go...
Could you just clarify that, Chairman, please? Through you, can
Sorry.
You?
Yeah, the sewer, which I think it runs through the middle of the plan on...
I'm not sure if you can see it on page 34. There is a slight diversion of where the sewer currently goes around plot 5.
Yeah, because if
but it come through, it would come through what's the adopted section of the roadway.
Yeah, the piece that goes from the main gateway coming straight across, more or less.
Well, it's shown on the plan on page 34.
Yeah, that's right. Because if that's the case, with the heavy farm traffic nowadays, you're going to be mending sewers every other week.
Well, Chairman, that section of road would be constructed to adoptable standards. I mean, this is a think of it as anything above 5 dwellings is more than a private driveway. So it has to be constructed to a standard that any estate road is constructed. And that means that before the Highway Authority will adopt them, they're not going to adopt something that's going to have collapsing sewers in it or the like.
You know, they'll have to adopt that from there. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a traffic problem. If there's a banksman, it's not very often you get a banksman on the building site, which...
No, Chairman, I think that's correct, yes. I mean, I think clearly we, even in running our own commercial services, I'll call them bin men, but... I mean, I think clearly there are parts and parcels of many of our parishes where those vehicles can't go down a village street and then get to the end of it and then turn round. And if they're familiar with where they are, know where they are, then to navigate those safely, they have to have a banksman. For anybody who's not sure what a banksman is, it's the passenger who jumps out and then at very, very slow speed, and I mean slow speed, then guides the vehicle back. At the moment, that's been guided back over 200 metres down East End.
Right, Chairman, I'll let somebody else have a go now, but I'm not supporting this application.
Well, we'll deal with that later. Any other questions for the officer? Councillor Mrs. Farnham.
Sorry, I may have missed it. Under highways, it does say that the comments are still weighted on the construction vehicle management plan.
Sorry,
did you?
The construction management plan suggests how traffic, if it was approaching the village, would be managed. So in other words, it would be parking up away from the site, announcing itself, then somebody on the site would then meet it, greet it, introduce it to the site. I think some of the suggestions are that they need to be, for example, if you had a brick lorry or something like that approaching to deliver, that they would need to be parking up on a reasonably wide part of carriageway near to the village and then being not parking on the narrower roads. So still, you know, it's going in the right direction, but it still needs some more work.
Thank you. Any other questions? No. Okay, we'll move into debate then. Back to you, Councillor Hope.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. I jumped the gun a bit with that, where I was going. this site is in a very nice area, real conservation type area, and it has an impact on the heritage of the site. And it is outside the thing, but do we want to build Cherry Footon out that way? And do we need such high occupancy of the big houses? We're, as Gary said, more affordable, which we have some at the other end, but that maybe won't fill the thing. There's conditions that in the road is done first before any building works types starts on the if it gets passed. So at the minute that's all I have to say, but I won't be supporting this application.
Thank you. Councillor Cleary, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I accept what the agent says about it's a resubmission on a lower, different scale. I used to build houses, I'd be proud of this scheme, on another site. Developments like this can't be taken in isolation, and it's just going to affect the surrounding area, the rest of the village, too much. I can't support it either.
Councillor Mrs. Shields.
Thank you, Chairman. I think it's the wrong sort of mix of houses, and it's definitely on the wrong site. I mean, we had the inspection, I remember, it was a very warm, sunny day, wasn't it? And we walked back up, and there's a distinct hill coming down into that area, which is not going to be much good when you get to winter, and we get bad, you know, snow and ice and so on. It could be quite dangerous. But the whole road is too narrow. Right up by the top where you spoke about, we know we walked over the bit that rises up, leaving the cars down below. But at one point it's terribly narrow, and we could see from the few parked cars that were there already the difficulty it was going to be for another car to park, let alone a much larger vehicle. Councillor Hope's already spoken about ambulances, etc. That's obviously important. But the actual construction vehicles. We've just had almost like hell at Furby, where JCBs have been going up and down the drive. We had to put them out into the road to go a different way around because they knocked the pillar down and broke off the front gates with it. That sort of vehicle is going to be really murderous on that road. It would have to clear the parking on either side to allow it to get by. It's really quite absurd. I thought we were just going to have originally a couple of houses at the bottom there, which I thought, well, it's going to be difficult. But to have 12, and with everybody at least having one car, and some of them probably going to have two cars, and maybe the five-bedroom one's got three children, so they'll have at least three cars there. So all this lot trying to park and then trying to get out along with all the other people who are working is quite absurd. I mean, I'm not going to support this. There's got to be a revision of the whole thing, in my opinion, before any sort of construction goes ahead. It's really quite damaging for the whole of the village. Sorry, I won't support it.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Oh dear. So, Steve Boyne, this committee, we don't always agree with Steve. I think this is probably one where, regarding highways, we'll probably agree to disagree. Local views, they are very, very important, but we are a planning committee and we do have to look at everything. It's always a balancing act on the planning committee, and whatever we do, we have to make sure that we stack everything up, obviously if it's taken to appeal. So the people who obviously are disagreeing, we need some firm planning grounds as to why this will not stack up at appeal. I desperately support affordable homes, and I desperately want to have more affordable homes in our villages for our young people, for people to move in and out of the village. I think it's healthy, I think that's what Rydale lacks, and I hope that we'll soon be able to change our development plan to get more affordables in our villages. I think that some of our plans, as been pointed out, 2009 are way out of date. And I think you know my views, Gary, that they need to be brought to us, reassessed immediately, so it doesn't make our predicament difficult, because we are relying on very, very old, out-of-date plans. For more affordables and a commuted sum is of interest to me, and that's where we are in this debate. Looking aside at the narrow road, I particularly like this scheme. I think it's very interesting. I think the design is good. And I think it's very appropriate for the service village. So really, it's the matter of the width of the road and the entrance. And whether we like it or not, our highways have come up and said that they're going to have a management plan. Whether we like it or not, that is what we have to look at. No matter where we build, there is always disruption. But if it's managed incorrectly, our residents always ring up and create a fuss, and we go out and try and sort it out. So we would get told if their management plan was out of order. I take the point about the listed building, the church, but as you know, we lost an appeal and it was all around a listed building, so we can't hang our hats on that one. So what are we going to say regarding this particular development? We've got to make sure that we have some grounds if it went to appeal, and at this moment in time, I personally can't think of any grounds. So basically what we're saying is we've got to refuse this site because the road is too narrow. Also, I was just thinking, it's out of development limit. Well, you know, you only have to look at Norton. We've had hundreds of homes built out of the development limit, so we can't stack up on that one either. So we come back to the road is too narrow. And because it gives us our affordables, it gives us the commuted sum. The road is too narrow, but we've been told by our experts that we don't always agree with that something can be done. On this occasion, I'm going to go with our officers and I would move approval.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Councillor Mrs. Farnell.
Thank you. Yes, I will second Councillor Burr's proposal. Although I do have sympathy with neighbours and residents with regards to the narrowness of the roads, again, we're in the hands of the Highway Authority and they are saying that it's okay and that the management plan in place will alleviate those concerns. Again, affordable homes, I support. It's desperate to keep younger people in our villages and keep them alive. And therefore I'll second.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Councillor Joy Andrews, please.
Thank you. I'd just like to, it's basically what Councillor Farnell has said. If there's any of the members that can come up with a planning reason why we can't accept it, I'd be happy, because I disagree with Highways on this, but Highways are the so-called experts, and I feel my hands are tied. I mean, I looked at this and I thought the development was a good development in the wrong place, as Councillor Shields said, but unfortunately, looking through the paperwork, I can't find any planning reason why I should oppose it.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? No. Okay, it has been moved and seconded for approval, so I will put that to the vote. That's 6 in favour and 3 against. It is approved. Subject to conditions and Section 106 and conditions. Thank you. Now move on to agenda item number 8, application number 16/01368/ Major Full. The application site is Dolby's Nurseries, Common Lane, Wart Hill, Sandhutton. And the proposal is for the erection of a greenhouse.
Thank you, Chairman. There are really no updates on this particular application, no comment from the Parish Council. Yes, it is a greenhouse, Chairman. It's a very big greenhouse. It's over 1,000 square metres on a site which has got many other greenhouses of a similar size, Chairman. But that's the only reason it's before you today. So I'll just quickly show you some photos. It's behind those, so it gives you an idea of the setting and the context. And if you carry on through towards the back of the site, here's some greenhouses that it's more similar, and it's actually sitting in this area here. As I say, it's before you, Chairman, because the building is over 1,000 square metres, but that's the only reason, so nothing really more to add, and recommend approval.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Question? No? Okay. We don't have the local member because I think she's ill. I think it's Caroline's. So, anybody wishing to take this one? Councillor Mrs. Brown.
Thank you, Chairman. The local member hasn't informed me to say anything, so I'm just saying what I feel. It's really, really nice to think that a firm is investing within their own business. Long may it continue, and I hope they're successful, so I'd like to move approval.
Thank you. Councillor Cleary.
I echo everything Councillor Berry said, and I wish to second her proposal.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Okay, it has been moved and seconded for approval, so I will put that to the vote, please. Thank you. That's unanimous. It is approved. Move on to agenda item 9, application number 16/00072/ outline. The application site is land at Golden Square, Lowmarishes, and the proposal is for the erection of an agricultural workers' dwelling.
Thank you, Chairman. There are no updates to the committee report, but I thought it would be useful to describe where the site is and briefly what the operations at the site. If members can refer to page 144 on the agenda. You see that the application site is located to the east of the A169 between the two right turns to Low and High Marishes on the way out of Malton. It's accessed by a private track, and then as you go down the track it goes in a northern direction, and the first building you come to is the existing farmhouse, which you can see there with the red brick and slate roof. And the proposals for a dwelling, which is to be located to the south of that dwelling, behind that hedge there. That's a better shot of the paddock at the moment. As you can see, the industrial building is already in the background. And further panning to the northeast. And again, in the context of the house again. And these are some photographs of the existing industrial buildings located beyond the farmhouse. Uh, and these are the lorry trailers. And at the site itself, at the present time, there's an agricultural enterprise which comprises 340 acres. There's an agricultural contracting business that's undertaken from there. There are 11 industrial units, and at the time of the submission, there was 5 which were occupied. And there is a lorry haulage business operated from there, along with a public weighbridge. And the application is for an agricultural workers' dwelling, in addition to the dwelling that's already there at the present time. And there are 3 speakers as well, Chairman, so I'll answer any questions after that.
Thank you. The first speaker is Councillor Janet Sanderson, please. I think you know the routine, Janet, so I won't.
Good evening, everybody. We're all acutely aware that farms have been driven towards diversification. And Golden Square, the diversification element, has expanded and now become something of a micro-industrial complex alongside the original farm. It's suggested that the officer recommendation is supported by the 2007 appeal. However, nearly a decade has passed, during which time the industrial site has expanded to incorporate a wide and diverse variety of local enterprise. I quote from White Hoggart, their accountant, "The increase in profit when you compare the year 2015 with 2007 is 469.08% of the 2007 profit figure. During this time, other businesses have struggled to survive after the 2008 financial crash. Their accountant expects the profitability to be maintained at these levels during 2016 and the foreseeable future. They emphasise that, based on the level of profit achieved in recent years, the business is capable of supporting, quite comfortably, 2 families. The Cundall report comprehensively lists these activities, but just let's take a snapshot. The Weybridge is always open, a valuable asset in a farming community, and one which the police make use of too. A1 Plus, Salt the A64. Members may recall our tour of the Rosti plant, hearing that the company are fined in the region of a staggering £35,000 per minute if the plant ceases production. If there's a problem, this family load salt, take on emergency welding, turn their hand to what is required at whatever time of day or night. The strength of their business is in the 24/7 support they offer to the activities on their land. You might argue that none of these individual elements requires a second worker for 24-hour cover, but when you add them all up together, you really do have to wonder how the Willises cope. And with business increasing, the risk also increases when a single individual is on permanent extended call of duty. The Eden Camp project is now fast moving forward, and Golden Square is strategically well positioned to continue expansion, delivering creative solutions and keeping our small enterprises up and running. The small rural businesses that Rydale District Council encourage and benefit from. So I ask you to consider the broader picture here when determining this application. It's very clear that the functional need has changed since 2007, and I would therefore ask you to vote for approval. Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker is from the Parish Council, David Beale, please.
Good evening. I'm David Beale. I'm chairman of the Marish's Parish Meeting. At previous parish meetings, we have discussed this application before you tonight, and the meeting just was wholly in favour of it. The Willises have farmed at Golden Square for generations, well over 80 years. They are well-respected members of the parish, and their diverse business run from Golden Square contributes greatly to the local area, particularly in terms of extra employment they create. It is a credit to them and the long hours they put in. The second dwelling they wish to build would be a great help to their business. Security would be improved, as would the hands-on running of a 24/7 business yard where you are on call all the time. It is not reasonable to expect someone off-site to be popping down at all hours if the other person is away, or even if they happen to be having a night out, which is totally justified. Mr. Willis Jr. has been doing this for some time, and it must be a great strain on his life, to say the very least, when a house on site would just stop this. I farm nearby, and I always have a walk around the yard just before I go to bed to check all's okay and secure. That would be horrendous if it involved getting my car and doing a journey just to do that simple task. The council should do all in its power to support and encourage an iconic local business like this to flourish and grow for the future. There is a genuine need for the Willis family. It is absolute need, and I must stress it is not simply a family after a cheap house or trying to make a quick buck. I cannot emphasise enough this is not the case. The proposed site is tucked away, well out of sight. No one on a public road or area will ever see it or know where it is. It will have absolutely no impact on the local area or local population. This in itself should allow it to be approved tonight. So, just briefly to sum it up, the facts. This is desperately needed to sustain and further a current successful business. It will have absolutely no detrimental effect on the local area. No one has been, and there's no objections to it, and the local parish strongly support it. So I would urge you to approve this application tonight. It is all positives and absolutely no negatives, and I cannot think of one possible reason for you not to approve it. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. The next speaker is the agent, Will Tyson, please.
Thank you. Members of the committee, I represent the applicants, Mr. and Mrs. Andrew Willis and their son Paul, with their application for this dwelling. The applicant's farm, as we've been told, a 300-acre arable farm in and around the Moulton area, in addition to managing this busy and efficient storage enterprise, public weighbridge, lorry park from the main farmstead at Golden Square Farm. Andrew and his family moved to Golden Square 80 years ago, and in that time they have diversified away from traditional farming enterprises to make the best use of the holding and the infrastructure at the farm. The business now operated at Golden Square Farm has capitalised on a niche market within the area, offering year-round 24-hour storage services, which not only provide secure undercover storage for different businesses, but also the services of loading and unloading, weighing, round-the-clock operations and efficient storage plans that all complement the arable farming operations at the farm. A typical day for Andrew and Paul can involve loading and unloading several lorries, which involves processing and organisation of deliveries into and out of the store. However, the key aspect of the applicant's business is that these deliveries and collections occur day and night, with both Andrew and Paul on call at short notice to deal with customers' requirements and demands and to act as banksmen for each other. All buildings, forklifts and other machinery are serviced, maintained and managed in the house by the family, with storage plans and logistic reviews and are renewed daily to make best use of the buildings and space. It would be simpler for the family overall to house pigs, cattle or poultry in Golden Square Farm, and this would generate a good income for the family, and this would meet the planning policy to get a second dwelling. However, the family are not livestock farmers. They have never been. They have built a unique business that offers specialist services which other farming business could not provide. The business is trading profitably and has been established for the last 80 years and has a clear prospect of remaining financially sound going forward. The holding requires almost 5 full-time workers to efficiently run in accordance with industry figures, and 2 full-time skilled workers are required on hand day and night to deal with collections and deliveries at short notice. And a failure of storage, building systems, forklifts, all processes can have serious financial and health and safety implications for the business and family overall. In summary, this business is by no means a livestock farm requiring a farm worker to be on hand to calve cows or lamb sheep. The business is an arable farm offering contracting services and bespoke loading and unloading storage facilities, which relies solely on its reputation for reliability, efficiency and well-maintained machinery. The business operates mechanised systems, manages a massive stock list, and the business also provides a valuable ridel service and employment for the area. Please support this business, as the letters of support and the other members have suggested tonight. Thank you very much,
Dr.
for your time.
Thank you.
Chairman, the thing that comes across from all three speakers in terms of the need for this additional dwelling relates to industrial development, it relates to the Weybridge, it relates to the way the business is operated, and not from agricultural reasons, not from the 340 acres of arable farming, which is the purpose of the application to seek a farm worker's dwelling.
Chairman, if we approve this application and put an agricultural worker's occupancy condition on the building, they couldn't comply with it. This is a 24-hour storage service business that's being used to justify a dwelling on the land. Do you see that we've got an application for an agricultural worker's dwelling, which isn't actually for an agricultural worker in the definition of the Act? I understand the arguments that have been raised, but it's not for an agricultural worker. There's a serious issue here. We either refuse the application tonight, or we defer it, and we go back and try and get what the proper story is. Because we can't put an agricultural occupancy condition on this building and your son comply with it. He's not engaged in agriculture enough to comply with the condition.
Any questions, Councillor Mrs. Burr?
Thank you, Chairman. I can understand why this has come to us. And occasionally we do get requests for agricultural dwelling buildings, houses, whatever. And I just want to be clear in my mind what our policy is, and if this somehow shoehorns or something. I thought our policy was for livestock, but I may be wrong. But I still completely understand that it's on a farm and it's farmers and everything that goes with farmers with no livestock. So I just want to be clear, what is our policy, and would we be then opening the floodgates? I just need to be very, very clear before I do anything. Could you help me out?
Yeah. The local plan policy and the national policy states that for a dwelling to be located in an open countryside location like this, there has to be an essential need for that dwelling. Usually the vast majority we get are for agricultural workers' dwellings. And yeah, generally, in almost all cases, the need to be on site 24/7 in sight and sound of the buildings arises from livestock requirements and welfare requirements. And in doing so, there'll be a functional need submitted with an application to explain what the need is, what the standard man-day hours are for the livestock and the operations on the site, and the calculation will give you what the actual need is for a worker for the whole year. And that justification is quite well used. I think it's the John Nick standard handbook that's used to find the calculations for each particular type of animal at what certain ages, and then you have an agricultural appraisal which justifies that dwelling.
Where we are at the moment is that we have a policy that's quite limited to land-based economy. Alan's right. Normally the vast majority of applications that come to us, that come to you sometimes, to justify a dwelling in a location where we normally wouldn't approve one is because of an animal requirement. And I think that was very much in the mind of the inspector back in 2007 or whenever it was, that the landholding was very much around an arable enterprise, and I think that's still the case, so you haven't got that sort of sensitivity around livestock at all. But what I think has been presented tonight is an evolving business around other business which isn't agriculture within the definition of the Act. And that's what immediately set alarm bells ringing with me, is that we've got an application for an agricultural worker's dwelling who might not actually be an agricultural worker within our definitions of the Act. So the last thing I want you to do tonight is if you are sympathetic to granting permission, then impose a condition which makes it impossible for the chap to comply with it. It's almost a nonsensical permission. My gut reaction is to suggest to members that we defer this and try and get to the bottom of what's being applied for, because I don't think it's a bona fide agricultural worker. If we impose that condition, it's probably going to cause more problems than it solves. And I think I'd rather try and get the story straight and bring it back to you to the next meeting.
Councillor Cousins, do you have a question?
Mr. Chairman, I look at it that it's a farm that's diversified into various things, but they're still working their agricultural side of it. They're still working that from there, and while they've diversified into these other things, I think that's still a very, very important business connected to agriculture. I mean, there's the weighbridges and everything, all that, it's all connected to agriculture. I know we've got our policies which is to do with livestock, but I do think there's something there we should be altering to do.
Chairman, I'm not like suggesting this. There isn't a business here, but it's not the business that's justifying what's applied for, and I think we need to get to the bottom of that, because, believe me, people scrutinise all the permissions we grant. And they scrutinise, you know, yes, everybody would like a house in the countryside, but our policy says, well, only if it's essential and all the rest of it. We need to come back to you with what the full story is. And you, I don't think we've got the full story yet. We certainly haven't got the full story for an agricultural worker's dwelling, that if we put a condition on it, the way that business is and the way it's been described tonight, I don't think the person doing that job would be actually able to comply with an agricultural worker's dwelling condition. And that almost becomes a nonsense. You know, being asked to grant planning permission for something which isn't worth almost the paper it's written on, they'd end up having to appeal the condition, which is nonsense. So I think we need to get the facts, come back to you with that information and say, well, here's the business, this is the justification that's clearly being put forward to, if it comes to it, be considered as an exception to your normal policy, is all the material consideration as how the business has evolved. But we need to be very careful about what we're granting planning permission to.
Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Was first. The last agricultural dwelling we were discussing at this council, we refused this young family, which I felt terrible about. We refused a young family a dwelling because he didn't have enough sheep, or it was something like that. So I think we've got to be consistent. I think we've got to be consistent here, but I think what Gary is offering is a solution to maybe have a little look at it and maybe see what can be done, and then we've actually given it a fair crack. But one thing that we don't want to do, and Gary is quite right, people do scrutinise what we do, and if it's anything that's exceptional, we'll be having left, right and centre all these applications that we don't know what to do with. So I think, in fairness to the applicants and to us, I would suggest that we defer it and we actually look at this in more detail, because I can sense round the room there's sort of some noddings of we want to help, but I just need to be clear in my own mind and then I'd be satisfied. And I hope that's a sensible outcome, because I couldn't particularly say yay or nay, because I don't know whether I'm making the right or wrong decision tonight. I hope that's helpful.
Councillor Mrs. Shields.
I wonder whether the agricultural policy we have, which talks about animals, does it definitely exclude a business which is obviously connected with the land and only depend on, you know, somebody having animals? Does it actually exclude everything else apart from that?
The answer to that is no, Chairman, but when you get an application for particularly a second dwelling or a third dwelling, whatever it might be, on a holding, then it's almost like there's an uphill battle getting over beyond that, because the functional need very often can be seen to be met by the dwelling that is already there or the dwellings that are already there. But I think what we've got here is clearly an emergent business which is, since 2007, gone down a different route. And that's not to say that business isn't viable and all the rest of it, but what we need to establish is what's the functional need for the demands of that business. And I haven't got all that information, and it seems to me that we've got on the face of it an application for us for an agricultural worker's dwelling, which actually I'm not sure it's strictly speaking for an agricultural worker within the definition of what comprises agriculture. So I think we need to establish the facts, get more detail, and then come back to you with what actually is being applied for. Because if technically it isn't an agricultural worker, you might say, well, what are all the other arguments that are being put forward? Because we might think they're very good arguments to set aside a decision contrary to our normal policy, because the law requires us to, as a planning committee, make decisions in accordance with the development plan. But occasionally we'll make decisions that aren't in accordance with the development plan because there are good reasons why. And we need to get to the bottom of those good reasons. And what was put to us was an agricultural workers' dwelling, and what I'm hearing tonight is not necessarily that.
The word agriculture actually means cultivation of land, generally speaking. And this, I mean, if you're talking about a farm, then this is, you know, part and parcel of that. So I'm not quite sure that saying you can't have this dwelling is not within the definition of the word itself.
None of us are quite sure, given what we've heard tonight. I'd want to know what this business is, what this person's doing, what is involved with, and then I can come back and tell you what he's really doing. And actually, you know, we've heard from the description tonight that there are 11 industrial units on there. Well, actually, I think it's more storage than industry, but even that in itself, if it's storage, is not necessarily agriculture. And so we need to be absolutely sure what we've been asked to approve here, because what I don't want to do is get to a situation where we've very simplistically looked at something, approved an agricultural workers' dwelling, and then we've ended up imposing a condition which requires that person to be involved in agriculture within the meaning of the Act and not actually complying with it from day one. We need to get to the truth of it, and then we can come back to you. That's my view.
Councillor Maud.
Thank you, Chairman. This farm is what is that tonight? It's a farm in a very unique situation. It's diversified, and its diversification has multiplied due, obviously, to the service that they're providing, but the diversification surely would come in to support the farm. 360 acres is not a small unit, and I understand, I've heard the contracting is also carried out as well. That can be a major thing, and if a successful contractor needs to be able to carry on running repairs at night time. So there's the call on the effort put into this here is quite substantial, and I would like to see that this here is successful. I wouldn't like to see it go, try and push it through tonight and lose it. I am quite happy to support Councillor Burr with her deferment and come back and see if we can improve it at the next meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Cleary.
Thank you, Chairman. I take it we're actually now in debate. It looks like it.
It certainly seems that way. Yeah, I thought we still in questions, but anyway.
Yes. We have a number of times when we're supposed to look at the application rather than the applicant. Sometimes you look at the applicant and it goes through on the nod patently. This is something, this is a business that Rydell should be proud of. However, we have to look at the application. And I think, in fact, by the way, the last time we turned down or had a agricultural workers' dwelling proposal before us. I think we turned it down because the house was actually in the wrong spot. It wasn't actually near the farmstead, but that's by the by. I think the best way that we can help the applicant is actually to follow our officer's recommendation and defer it to see to get a better application for what the applicant wants. So I would support deferral.
Thank you. Well, I think it has been moved and seconded for deferral, so we shall vote on that and see what we come up with. Thank you. That's unanimous. It is deferred until we'll let Gary sort that one. So we now move on to agenda item 10, application number 16/01229/full. The application is application site is Barclays Bank, 23 Marketplace, Kirby Moorside, and the proposal is for the erection of a single-storey rear extension following demolition of existing single-storey rear extensions together with alterations to the shop front to include replacement of three-number ground floor windows with two-number display windows.
Thank you, Chairman. In fact, there was one very brief update, Chairman, which was a very brief email, further email from the objector, who simply reiterated their objections to the changes to the, which was to the front of the building. And you're looking at it, Chairman. This is a former bank premises which... that's the best view. As you can see, it's a much older building that's had a bank, sort of 1930s bank, put into the middle of it. And the main change at the front is well, they're keeping the bank, the large, heavy oak doors at either side, which Conservation Office is quite happy with. But as part of the refurbishment, they're proposing taking out these windows and replacing with two windows. If you look on page 178, Chairman, and slightly expand the picture at the top, you can see what's been proposed here is essentially larger. Two windows here with a central mullion, and that's the bit that's been objected to. Conservation Office is quite happy with the changes. The other major changes, which nobody's raised any concerns about, really relate to the rear of the premises, which are typical of many town centre premises where there's a mix and match of rather ugly buildings. All of these would be actually demolished, and a flat roofed extension would come across the rear here, in this area here, to make a better shop unit at ground floor. That's essentially what's proposed. But the concern was more about the front alteration, which was actually changing these windows to two and putting a central mullion, which you can see on page 178. Nothing further to add, Chairman. I think we have the local member.
Thank you. Yes. Any questions first?
No questions.
No questions. Councillor Cousins, we'll move into debate and come to you. Could you put your mic on, please, Councillor Cousins? Middle one.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move officer recommendation.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. I will second David. Yes, Councillor Cousins. What I will say is that once again, maybe I should declare an interest here. Once again, it's very, very sad that we are having to alter our retail environments in our towns due to probably lack of people not being able to sustain shops. It is really, really difficult to sustain that type of a small business in a market town. Thank goodness, you know, we have our lovely coffee shops, etc., and our little businesses, but this is unfortunately what is happening in Norton, in Moulton, in Kirby, in Pickering. I do support it.
And Helmsley.
Pardon?
And Helmsley.
And Helmsley. I do support it, but It is just so difficult to sustain a small business in a market town.
And I think the conservation officers had accepted that, that actually if you look at the internal floor layout, it's about 144 square metres, but it's all on one level. And actually that's quite an oddity in some of our market towns. So the hope is that it will make somebody want to go in there and use it.
Anybody else wishing to speak? No? Okay, it's been moved and seconded for approval, so I will put that to the vote, please. Thank you, that's unanimous. Move on to agenda item 11, application number 16/01337/73A, application site 5 Church Street, Norton, Malton. Proposal is for the variation of condition 05 of approval, dated 25/9/2015, to allow use between 0800 hours and 1900 hours on Mondays to Saturdays.
Thank you, Chairman. The site's in Norton, Church Street, Norton. It's currently used as a hand car wash facility and received temporary planning permission in 2011, a three-year period, and was renewed again in 2015. One of the conditions imposed in 2015 restricted the hours of use between 9 on a morning and 6 on the evening on Monday to Saturdays. And I think at the time the applicant accepted that, but has now subsequently wished to vary that condition to relate to the competitors over the road. The site, there's some pictures of it here. You can see it's just an open site with car wash facility and a canopy. And then there's one taken from Church Street, the road currently closed at the moment. I think the condition was imposed to control residential amenity, and officers have looked at this and looked at the properties around there, and we think the variation can be approved. There is a speaker, Chairman, so if there's any questions, I'll answer those happily afterwards.
Thank you. We do have the speaker, the applicant, Mr. Chris Brack, please.
I'm a partner in the ownership of the site. Act as the landlord and deal with any planning issues, etc., on behalf of the operators of the car wash who leased the site from us. Planning permission was granted for the use of the site in 2011 and for associated structures on the site in 2013. There were no conditions initially imposed on the hours of operation of the site, and the site operated from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. from its inception. Planning permission was initially limited to 3 years from first operation, so in 2015 we were informed by the council that we needed to reapply for retention of the site for use as a car wash. We applied, permission was granted on September 2015, again for a period of 3 years. This new permission carried a condition that restricted operating hours to 9 and to 6 p.m. each day. I was surprised at this as I thought we were applying to return the same use as before, but when I discussed this with our tenant, Mr. Highway Ibrahim, whether he was satisfied with the conditions imposed, he said he was. It seems that he did not grasp the full significance of the operating hour restrictions. Mr. Ibrahim is an Iraqi Kurd, and although his English is good, he sometimes has difficulty grasping the full implications of documents and information he's presented with. Since 2012, the car wash has operated from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m, Monday to Saturday in the summer, with shorter opening hours in the winter, depending on the weather. As far as I'm aware, there were no complaints about the hours of operation between the opening of the car wash in 2011 and the granting of the retention planning permission in September 2015. The garage operates from 6:30 a.m. in the morning to 10:30 p.m. at night, weekdays, and 7 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. weekends. The Ocean car wash attached to the garage, which are competitor to our site, operates 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday to Saturday and 9 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Sundays, the same hours for which we are applying. To sum up then, this application simply seeks to allow the site to enjoy the same hours of operation as it had for the first 3 years of its opening, and the same hours of operation as our competitors directly across the street enjoy. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? No. OK, Council, Mrs. Shields, I believe this is yours.
It is mine, yes, Chairman, thank you. You'll note the decision of the Town Council, first of all, which was unanimous. I don't know if anybody who doesn't live near Church Street and Commercial Street realises quite how narrow it is. At the moment, you had a picture, there we are, of the usual sort of something being dug up. At the moment, you can't get up Church Street because the railway are laying new lines underneath the road. We had other facilities like the gas and so on put under the road. The whole road comes up. And anything trying to get into there has difficulty. At the moment, they're kind enough to sort of allow things at night to get through, and so they move the vehicles to one side. It's one of the narrowest roads we have. It's quite close to the main junction, and to have the extra traffic coming in and trying to turn it into the complex for the washing of their cars is really quite horrific. I think it's quite wrong and quite inappropriate to be suggesting that Lidl, which is on the Wellham Road, is a near neighbour, and this is a comparative sort of site, which is not. Wellham Road is much more broad. And also the other places, I've forgotten where they are now, which are quite close but are not on Church Street, and Church Street is very narrow. We've got three roads. You get the Wellham Road coming in, Church Street straight over from the bridge. We've had this problem with other things as well.
Councillor Mrs. Shields, can I just stop you there?
Yes,
we're just on requesting that. It's not about the business being there.
Yeah,
that's got planning permission. It's about the extension in the hours.
Right. Well, the extension in the hours, which is 12 over the week, is going to be a great deal, causing extra traffic coming through to be caught up and have to wait in queues. After all, we've got the railway crossing there, and when you get the trains coming through, then you get more people waiting to come through onto Church Street. I'm not going to approve this. I cannot approve this. The Town Council were quite adamant that there is sufficient there. And whilst there is a competitor, I must point out that Ocean were there actually, I think, before the present people on Church Street. I cannot approve it, and I personally will recommend refusal.
Thank you. Do you want to come back?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Just to clarify, the condition was imposed in terms of residential amenity impacts, not highway safety. It's not a condition that the Highway Authority requested in 2011 or 2015. The competitor is the Ocean Car Wash at the opposite side of the road, attached to the commercial garage, the petrol filling station. There's no mention of Lidl. I don't know where that came from. So the operation of the car wash, hand car wash, has planning permission. That the only variation is the hours of use, and that we should be looking at is whether that has an adverse impact on the residential amenity of surrounding properties only. That's why the condition was imposed.
Well, there are going to be more times, both morning and evening, when that is going to be used, which is going to affect the people of those small few houses who are actually on Church Street and others further down on the left-hand side. And the fact that the competitor, Ocean, was set up is way behind. It's got nothing to do with Church Street. It's way behind the garage, as you said, but it is not affecting Church Street in any way.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Are we still on questions?
No, there was no questions, so we're straight
into... Okay, that's grand. I apologise, I think I should declare an interest, because my husband actually takes his van down to these people. So I've done that. What I'm struggling with is that they had a three-year approval with no restrictions, and then they've come back for another 3-year approval. So I'm just asking, is that legal then for us to change what we're going to say about their opening hours? Because I thought that when you came back to reapply, it was the same.
Well,
the same hours.
It's a condition that was applied at the time. At the time they put in for the second planning application, the extension.
Right. Okay.
We just have to sort of deal with what's before us now, and quite why the early permission didn't have an hours condition and the second one did is almost a historical fact. You know, the first one didn't, the second one does. And that may be what they applied for. I haven't got their application form in front of me, but nevertheless a condition was imposed. We now have a condition, an application to vary that condition, which in the view of officers is a relatively minor change. That's the gist of it. The town council hasn't actually gone into any great detail as to what its concerns are. It just says recommends refusal citing concerns over extended hours. The report wrestles with that and recommends we grant permission. That's it really, Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Cleary.
I fear I don't need to declare an interest. I don't think my car's ever been near a car wash. I have to say that I think what's before us is a very modest application or extension of hours of an existing building. I move approval.
Hang on, I will calm. Councillor Moore, do you add your hand up next?
The council, parish council, recommend refusal, but haven't there been any complaints from neighbours? I'm probably too late with my question, but that is a question, isn't it? No.
Not that we're aware. No. Not that we're aware of.
No. Okay. I would accept.
Right. So, who was going to second it to approval? Was it Councillor Cousins is seconded? Okay. Anybody else wishing to speak? Thank you. So it's been moved and seconded for approval, so I will put that to the vote. Thank you. That's six in... No, it isn't. It's seven. Seven in favour, one against and one abstention. So it is approved. Thank you. Moving on to agenda item 12, any other business that the chairman decides is urgent? I have no urgent business. 13 is the list of applications determined under delegated powers. And 14 is an update on appeal decisions.
Yes, Chairman, and there are two other appeal decisions on the late pages as well, Chairman, just to draw your attention to those.
Thank you. So that's your bedtime reading, so I'll now declare this meeting closed and wish you a safe journey home. Thank you.